He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think before we look into our study tonight, many times we are zealous in asking the Lord things, and I know from the fact that many, many people here have been very faithful during these past months in praying for my mother. And it's just a real blessing to see her here tonight. And it's a definite answer to prayer. And we just praise the Lord. And so let's give thanks. Father, we do thank you that you hear prayer, that you answer prayer, and we're encouraged once again of the truth of your statement. You said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. And Father, we thank you tonight that we know that here there have been many who have been praying and believing, and we have seen tonight again the answer to our prayer. So we thank you for this. We pray now your blessing upon this service. We trust thee for the ministry of thy Spirit to teach us, Father, that this shepherd's psalm might minister to our hearts and teach us of Christ, who is our shepherd, and in whose name we pray. Amen. I think most of us, from time to time, have been under conditions of extreme thirst. I know if I'm working out in the hot sun, I become very thirsty. And perhaps many times there have been those who have made the statement, I'm dying of thirst. Well, I don't know that we were really dying, but we were thirsty. We were probably actually still quite a long ways from death. But we do know what it is to then have a refreshing drink of nice, cool, clear water. And in the psalm, we've studied the first verse and the first part of the second verse. Tonight I'd like to have us look at the second part of the second verse, where the psalmist says, he leadeth me beside still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. As we consider what God does for us day by day, we would say this is the way in which he refreshes us. The refreshment of these cool, clear waters. Now, as we consider the way in which God refreshes our soul, referring here to sheep, we'd like to look at three things. First of all, the matter of the good water. Actually, there are three types of good water that a shepherd provides for his sheep. There is the dew, there's that of the wells, and that of streams. Now, sheep actually do not need a lot of water. They can go for a long time on just the water that they get from the dew on the grass, providing they are fed early in the morning. They can go for months without actually having water to drink. If they are able to eat in the morning before the sun comes out and there's a lot of dew on the grass. And I think that this is true of us as well, that God supplies our spiritual need of water. He meets our need of he meets our thirst as we meet with him. And I think most of us can testify to the fact that we're sharper in the morning. And I'm sure that the Word of God means more to us in the morning. I know in my study time, I can do twice as much in the morning as I can do in the afternoon. And if I can put off some type of appointment till afternoon, I'll do it.
because I treasure those mornings. And the morning time is when we're fresh and we get into the Word of God and it meets the need of our souls. It's said that George Mueller, who established the orphanages in England, used to spend from 4 to 7 a.m. with God in His Word, because he said, that's the time when God meets my soul. That's when the dew is fresh upon the grass. Now, a bedtime snack doesn't hurt either. I enjoy some scripture before I go to bed to meditate on and to fill my mind. And I wake up in the morning still thinking of those portions of scripture. And so there's nothing wrong with that, but the morning time is a special time for God's Word. And this is what we need. We need to feed on the dew-laden Word of God if we are to be prosperous sheep of our shepherd. As I was reading the book by Dr. Ketchum on the 23rd Psalm, he made a statement that I thought was very interesting. He said that during the first 19 years of his ministry, he had an eye disease that hindered him from being able to see, to be able to read. In fact, anything he read, he had to hold it within 1/2 inch of his eye. And if he held it within 1/2 inch of his eye, he could read it. You can imagine the tediousness of reading. And it was impossible for him to read scripture in a service, or even to read notes that he had made. And so during these first 19 years of his ministry, he had to memorize all of his sermon texts and all of his major points before he came to the service. And as I read that, I thought, my, that must have been very difficult to have an affliction like that. And yet that was what God used, I'm sure, to build Scripture into that man's mind and heart, to make him what we know him to be throughout all of these years, and still is today, a mighty preacher of God's Word. And so the Word of God is very important. Then the second source of water is that of wells. It's wells and cisterns, actually. And when a shepherd brings his sheep to the wells, the first thing he does is taste the water himself to make sure that it's good water, that he doesn't feed his sheep poisonous water that would cause the death of the sheep. And feeding the sheep, or giving the sheep water by means of wells, is hard work. It means pulling the water up and dumping it out, and that's hard, hot work for the shepherd. In the same way with cisterns. The shepherd would have to go down into the cistern, carved down into the rock, a slippery, treacherous walk, and down there in that cistern then scoop out the water for the sheep. And so this was hard work for the shepherd and necessitated his strenuous provision for the sheep in this way. And in the scripture we're reminded that Israel, God's people, Jeremiah says, "They, my people, have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn them out cisterns that are cracked and cannot hold water." It was quite common in the Orient, in the Near East, for these cisterns to be carved out of rock, and then with the passage of time, the cisterns would develop cracks, and the water would leak out. And Jeremiah says, God is saying to his people, he says, "You're such foolish sheep. Here I have fountains of living water for you. And what do? But you search around and try and find cisterns that are cracked and cannot hold any water." And so these were not the most desirable forms of water for the sheep. The form that's referred to here in the Psalm, where David says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters," would be that which refers then to the streams. But the streams were not still waters. They were stilled waters. I remember in Chile how when we would go up into the mountains to camp alongside the mountain streams, the water would just come crashing down the hillside and bouncing over the rocks. And it was all night long you could hear the thunder of that water dashing over the rocks as it would come down the hillside. And sheep actually are afraid of streams, of rushing streams, because as a lamb, sheep would stand alongside the rushing stream, feeding, drinking of the water, the spray from the rocks would tend to dampen the wool. And if the sheep stood there long enough, their wool would become soaked with the spray. You know what happens to wool when it gets soaked? It gets heavy. And as the sheep would get heavier, and any gush of water then would very easily tip the sheep over into the stream, and he'd be carried away. And sheep realize that danger, and they will not drink then out of a rushing stream. So here David says that the good shepherd provides stilled waters. What the shepherd would do would be to put a block alongside the stream to dam it up, so that some of the water would spill off into the grassy side parts and form little ponds of water. Then the sheep would come, they would drink from that cool, clear water that had been set aside into ponds alongside the main rushing stream. So the shepherd then provides quieted, stilled waters for the sheep. And that's what our shepherd does for us. He takes the turbulence in our lives and he changes it into blessing. That turbulent stream that was threatening to the sheep, by the shepherd's provision, became a quiet, still pond where the sheep could drink. He would change the turbulence and danger into blessing and quietness. And that's what our shepherd does for us. Then the sheep, when they are not able to find good water, have a tendency to drink contaminated water. This is water that's disturbed by the feet of the other sheep, or diseased, filled with parasites and poisons. And this water contaminated would cause the sheep to become ill and be filled with parasites themselves. In fact, some sheep even would, even with other water available, would tend to drink contaminated water if the shepherd were not watch them closely and make sure that they didn't drink of water that had become contaminated. Say, what a foolish thing. You have a good shepherd. He provides dew in the morning and wells and streams. Why would sheep drink of muddy, contaminated water? Well, I think the Lord finds it's the same thing of his own sheep today. Here he has all the blessings of his word, the blessings of fellowship with him and with those that love him. And it seems like still there are Christians who will find muddy, contaminated streams to drink out of. They'll find things that are not convenient for them, and the response will be, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. You never ask, well, what's good about it? Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't see how that will hurt me. And here our shepherd provides for us good water. Still, there are sheep that would seek the contaminated water. The most marvelous thing, I think, for us as the Lord's sheep is that he provides for us living water. Now, the primary source of this living water is Christ. And in John chapter 7, verse 37, Christ cried out, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Christ, then, is our source of refreshment. He is our source of living water. But then he says in verse 38, "Of this person who comes to him and drinks, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." That means that the believer then becomes a source of living water. Christ is the primary source of living water, and the believer then, by means of Christ's provision, becomes a secondary source to the people around him. And so Christ provides living water for us and through us. And this living water then is a source of refreshment to us. Now, as I've read in years past, the 23rd Psalm, and had come to the next part where it says, "He restoreth my soul," I had always thought, "He restoreth my soul." Well, I was dying of thirst, and he came and he provided that need. He met that need. He provided the cool, clear, refreshing waters, and he restored my soul. But as I studied further into the psalm, I found that that is not the situation. That is not what the psalmist meant when he said that he restoreth my soul. Actually, David in the 23rd Psalm was referring to something else, something that was very common to sheep, and something that is common to us as God's sheep. And this is referred to by David in Psalm 42:11. When David said, "He restoreth my soul," he was referring to Psalm 42 and verse 11, where he says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" Now this matter of being cast down, we have a term today that we use, a person is downcast. Well, if he's downcast, that means he's cast down. And David said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Have you ever seen a beetle that got on his back? Sometimes in the summertime, you find a June bug or a beetle that will get on their backs. And there they lay on their backs, their feet are kicking and flaying, and they cannot get upright again. This is exactly the same thing that happens to sheep. And so sheep can also get on their backs, and if they're on their backs, they cannot get up. And the condition then is that their feet are in the air, they are not able to get up by themselves, and if they are left that way, within a few hours on a hot day, they can die. Gases build up, and pressure comes to the brain, and the sheep can die within a few hours. If it's a cool day, if the weather's cool, they might last a couple of days. But anywhere from a couple of hours to a couple of days, the sheep can possibly die if they get on their backs. And so the condition is a very dangerous one. Now, what's the cause of this? How do they get into this kind of condition? Our dog gets this way. He'll be laying on the rug, and before you know it, he's laying there with his feet straight up in the air. But all you have to do is hear a little noise, and he's over and on his way again. No problem. But when sheep get that way, they can't get up. Now, how do they get that way? Well, sheep, when they get too fat, or have too much wool, or are laying on too soft a ground, are in very dangerous condition. The sheep will lay down, and as they lay down, tend to stretch out their legs. And as they stretch out their legs, if they're too fat, then some of their flesh, loose flesh, will shift, and before you know it, they'll be on their backs. Or if they have too much wool, as they lay down and stretch out their legs, some of that wool will just kind of flop over, and it'll pull them off balance. The center of gravity will shift, and up go their feet. Or if they're laying in too soft, plush a ground, they lay down, and the ground will give a little bit, and before you know it, the center of gravity shifts, and their feet are up in the air. And so these three things can aggravate the problem and cause sheep to be cast down. And that's the term that is used by shepherds. A cast sheep is one who is helpless with their feet up in the air. Now, what is the cure for this? Well, the cure for this is to reduce the pasture and to clip the wool. You reduce the pasture and you thin them down a little bit so that they're not too heavy. You clip the wool so that there isn't that danger of this heavy mat of wool flipping over. And then, of course, another thing you can do is take them to higher, firmer ground rather than being in the soft, plush ground to avoid something like this happening. And shepherds keep a very close watch on their sheep to make sure that none of the sheep are gone any length of time. If they notice one that's missing, they immediately run to where they think the sheep might be, because they realize that it's dangerous and that if they don't catch them in time, they could lose them. And so basically then, as the sheep are pasturing, there's always that danger of being cast. But what is the confidence of the sheep? It isn't right to have to live in fear like that all the time. And so the sheep can have confidence. And the confidence of the sheep is in the shepherd's faithfulness. The sheep have the confidence that they have a faithful shepherd who, the minute he misses them, will be out looking for them and seeking to find them. That's why David says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" Said, you don't need to fear being cast down, because you have a faithful shepherd. And so he ends the psalm saying, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him." And here we can just see David picturing in his own mind a sheep out in the pasture, cast on his back, feet up in the air, completely helpless, saying, how did I get in this condition anyway? How long will I be here? Will my shepherd ever find me? And then David says, you know, there's hope. There's hope. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. I know that my shepherd will not rest until he finds me. When a shepherd would find his sheep, the first thing he would do would be to grasp them and to flip them over onto his feet and then hold them, because usually the blood is going out of the limbs and the sheep can't even stand on their own 2 feet. And so the shepherd would then hold the sheep up and rub the legs to restore the circulation, and all the time he's rubbing the legs, he would be gently rebuking the sheep. Why did you run away? Stay closer by so that this doesn't happen to you. In loving tones, rebuking them and restoring circulation. And David says there's hope, because my shepherd will not rest until he finds me, and when he does, he will restore me. Now there are, of course, things that cause Christians to be cast down, to be placed in a very dangerous and helpless position. When the sheep are cast, they are easy prey for all the wild animals, because there's nothing they can do. And if a wild animal sees a sheep that is cast, he knows that he has an easy meal. And so we need to recognize that there are things that can protect us also to keep us from being cast. If we have excess baggage, now that doesn't mean necessarily physical weight. If we have an excess of things, thinking of being cast down spiritually, the excess baggage is an excess of things. And this excess of things can load us down and cause our center of spiritual gravity to shift, so that we can become cast down, become helpless in our spiritual lives. The too much wool referring perhaps to the self-life. It's the wool that gathers all the mat and the dirt and the thistles and thorns. All those things of the world collect in that fur, and they mat it and they weight it down. And that's another thing that would tend to cause the sheep to shift their gravity and to become cast down. And so too much of the old self-life will start to cause a person to to be in a very dangerous position spiritually. And then, of course, there's the too soft a ground. When we're looking for a soft spot in life, we're in a very dangerous position, and we can become spiritually cast down. This is exactly what happened to David. You remember? David, for many years, went to battle with his armies. Finally, the year came when he'd had so much success and there weren't any really exciting enemies round about, just go around and clean up some of the little nations that were giving him problems. And so David didn't think he would go to battle. So he sent the troops out and he stayed home. He thought, I'll take it easy this year. David looked for a soft spot in life while his armies went out to fight. That was when David was cast down. He was cast down by Bathsheba, and David fell into sin because he was looking for a soft spot in life. So that is a dangerous time when the Christian has too much things or too much unconquered self-life or looking for a soft spot in life. These are the things that are dangerous for a Christian and can cause him to become cast. But in spite of all of this, remember Paul says to Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's what he wants us to do, to keep ourselves trim and unattached and given over to him, that this danger of being cast might be minimized for us. But if cast down, David says, don't forget, we have a faithful shepherd. Now, when he sets you up on your feet, he'll give you some rebuke. He rebukes gently, but he rebukes. And he'll explain to you what your problem is. But we have a faithful shepherd. And do you know what Jesus said? His disciples weren't perfect, man. We know that Peter had some problems and others of them. They weren't perfect men. But you know, when Jesus Christ was in the garden praying before he went up to the Father, before he died and went to be with the Father, he was praying in the garden, and you know what he said? He said, Father, those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. He said, the scripture fulfilled that one should be chosen who was not really mine, and so he was lost, as the scripture said, but of those whom thou gavest me, I have kept all of them, and none of them are lost. Now there you have a faithful shepherd. David said, this is my assurance. Even when out of my own foolishness, I become cast down, I can have hope in God, because he is a faithful shepherd. And I shall yet praise him, because I know that he restoreth my soul. He won't give up. He won't rest until he finds us, until he sets us back on our feet, and until he brings us back into his fold again. So this is the hope for the downcast. The only hope we have. Is he your shepherd? David could say, the Lord is my shepherd. And that's why there was hope for him. If you can say tonight, yes, the Lord is my shepherd, then this is also the hope that you have. He will lead you not only beside still waters, daily refreshment, providing for you that you might then be a source of provision for others, but he also gives you the confidence, day by day, that should you be cast down, that you have a faithful shepherd who will restore your soul. Shall we pray?